This is an iHeart podcast.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you've been taken captive by a powerful man and his soldiers. And this man has a bunch of dogs. Big dogs barking, snarling at you. The kind of dogs that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. And this man steps away for a moment as you sit there on the floor surrounded by the soldiers and dogs. And he comes back with a gigantic bear fur. And he lays you down, and his men begin to wrap you in that bear fur, pull out a heavy-duty needle and thread, because that's what it would take to hold it on you, and they slowly and steadily sew this bear fur all over your body. Then they stand you up. Walk you over to the edge of a forest, look you in the eye, and tell you, start running. These are bear hunting dogs. How fast do you think you'd run in that moment? What counts as being a monster? A bad human being? What should or shouldn't count? You probably have a different criteria for that than I do. I have a different one than Chris does. It's probably extremely, extremely subjective. But what do you consider to be a monster? Anyone who kills somebody, you might want to slow down on that. Might want to slow way down on that. Almost all of the great men in history, I shouldn't say almost all, many of the great men in history killed plenty of people. Undoubtedly, there's somebody examining their Christian faith right now, maybe Jewish faith, maybe Muslim faith, but we'll focus on the Christian side for a moment. Well, not, it's, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. It says, thou shalt not commit murder. The Bible calls King David a man after God's own heart. King David was stacking bodies out there, people. Lots of them. Is it simply how you're judged against the other people in your time? That's what I would say. That would be more along the lines of what I would go with, because here's what happens so often. We look at historical figures, historical moments, and we judge them by the standard of today. The normal, how many times have we talked about a siege, a sacking of a city? You understand a lot of people you consider to be the air fingers, quote, good guys, they sacked cities too. And look, sacking a city, maybe putting it nicely, that's probably what you say when you like the guy. Sacking a city, that's starving people to death. That's men, women, and children dying under the sword. Dying of disease. What if your guy, your good guy, is responsible for that? How do we decide? Who decides who the monsters are, who the good guys are? I mean, honestly, the only guy I think we can almost universally agree on as far as world leaders would be Hitler. Beyond Hitler, it starts to get dicey out there, doesn't it? See, Chris just brought up Stalin. I mean, Stalin's body count's bigger than Hitler, as we're going pure body count. I would call Stalin a monster, no question about it. There are people out there, including the current Russian leader, who would not call Stalin a monster. And in fact, I swear on my life, we didn't do that on purpose. Chris doesn't even know who I'm talking about today. It's funny you should bring that up about Russia. Today we're going to talk about Ivan the Terrible. But even the name is interesting, isn't it? I say Ivan the Terrible, and you might be vaguely familiar with him. You'll be more familiar once the day is done today. Maybe you're very familiar, maybe you're vaguely familiar, maybe you're not familiar at all, but one thing that is almost universal, is you think he was terrible. It was his name, right? I mean, it's obviously this was yet another dude in Russia killing a bunch of people. Do you know the name's actually a mistranslation? Actually supposed to be Ivan the Terror, and that was a compliment when he was given the name. The people who gave him the name didn't think he was terrible. Now, let's do a brief setup here before we get to Ivan, because as you well know, as I've explained several times, what I love is history all runs together. It all blends together. I mean, we just did one on Russia not too long ago. You remember that, the Great Northern War between Sweden and Russia, and we had Peter the Great there. That's another guy, by the way, not to get too sidetracked. Peter the Great, known as this great man, modernized Russia, brought the nation into, you know, I mean, really, really woke him up. Tortured a lot of people. His name's Peter the Great. You undoubtedly think remotely high, kind of high, about Peter the Great. You okay with torture? Are you not okay with torture? As I've always said, it gets complicated. So what you need to understand, first of all, about Russia is prior to Ivan, or I should say prior to Ivan's grandfather, you know, this period of time, just prior to it, Russia wasn't necessarily Russia. You remember when we were even talking about Peter the Great when he was fighting Charles the 12th, the Great Northern War. Russia wasn't Russia, really. It wasn't even hardly a unified country at all. And why wasn't Russia really Russia? Well, first of all, they found it. They kind of discovered the whole thing, started settling the whole thing in the 600s. And since they really settled it, and this is going to be an important part of our story, so pay attention. Since they really started settling it, the Asian steppe nomad horse archers, many of whom you would recognize, have been pillaging it. You know the Asian step. Just picture Asia and draw a wide line right down the middle of it from west to east. That's the step. That's a way oversimplification, but that's what I mean. Just a huge wide line in the middle of Asia. And what comes out of there? Freaking warriors come out of there. Always. You know the Mongols, and we'll get to the Mongols in a minute because they're going to play a big part of our story. But, well, they weren't even the first. Hang on. There is a cybercrime sweeping the nation right now, and it is financially destroying people. It's getting people evicted from their homes. This is not something that you just see in the movies. It's not some scare tactic. This thing is getting people evicted from their homes, and that's called home title theft. Your home title, it is not a piece of paper anymore. It exists online. And you and I'm having trouble with this too, are going to have to get used to this online world where criminals exist online. These cyber criminals, they get a hold of your home title, get your signature on it, they get a loan out against it, and soon you start getting late notices in the mail. Why haven't you paid your bills? They will evict you from your home. Get HomeTitleLock.com right now before the worst happens to you. Use the code Jesse when you go to HomeTitleLock.com. Get yourself 30 days free.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
The Mongols were not the first of the Asian steppe horse archer tribes. There were sweet tribes, and I highly recommend you look up any and all of them because they're all awesome. Attila the Hun, who you've heard of, the guy who savaged the Romans for a long time, Asian steppe nomads. The Scythians, Asian steppe nomads, on and on and on throughout the centuries. That's what that area produces. Warlike tribes who ride on horseback and fire bows and arrows like nobody ever has. And I don't think I have to remind you, even though I'm going to, let's just focus on Genghis Khan for a moment. Do you remember what his Mongols did in Russia? We'll go over all these battles again one day. Who knows, maybe I'll do one this week, but they rode up into Russia, and they beat the crap out of everybody. Everybody. Now, that was before, again, that was before Russia was really Russia. But still, they have a history here. A history of Asian steppe tribes slaughtering people. And think about what that would mean for you if you're Joe Schmo, average middle class dude, if there really was a middle class at the time, it was more, you know, serfs and nobles. But let's say you're an average middle class, you're the town blacksmith, got a wife, 6 or 7 kids. Not counting the 2 or 3 who died when they were in their infancy, because remember, we forget about this all the time, and this is going to matter too. Most of human history is children dying because the medical care was not there. By the grace of God, we don't live in that age. Count your blessings. People in the past, not too far in the past either, grew up knowing, some of our kids are going to die. Is that not the worst thing in the world? But that was common. That was the norm. So you're the average blacksmith, wife, few kids. Your life is staring at the horizon, hoping you don't see a Mongolian horde riding over the hills to come get you. And I don't think I need to elaborate for anybody in my audience what happens when that Mongolian army gets there. It's not good. But I cannot stress this enough. This is more than a, oh, I'm on the lookout for a Mongolian army today thing. This is, I've always been looking out for a Mongolian army today thing. My dad did, my grandpa did, his grandpa did. It's a way of life. Your way of life is danger. Constantly being picked at, attacked, raped, killed, enslaved. It's a disaster. So much so you're almost numb to it. So these are the kind of people we're dealing with. And if it seems like I'm setting something up, it's because I am. Now a man named Ivan comes along. Not our Ivan, not quite yet. This is Ivan's grandfather, Ivan III. And Ivan III, he starts to take it to these Mongols. This is now, we are now way past, a couple hundred years past the era of Genghis Khan, a few hundred years actually, where Genghis Khan's huge Mongolian empire has broken up, but that's putting it way too strongly. His empire was gigantic, and it broke up into also very powerful nations. When I say broken up, we're not talking on the downhill slide. It's just about done here. No. And the one way up there by Russia was called the Golden Horde. Such a cool name. The Golden Horde was a little unlike the kingdom that Genghis Khan established. Remember? I mean, besides murdering 40 million people, Genghis Khan was extremely religiously tolerant. He was really tolerant of pretty much everybody as long as you wanted to get along. He would take cities and he'd go find all the smart people and say, oh, you're working for me now. Oh, it's a slave? No. You're going to be fine. Just work for me. I mean, if you don't, I'll pull your fingernails out. But no, you work for me. I'll give you money, women, whatever. The Golden Horde was a little different. It was the Muslim portion of the Mongolian Empire. And when I say Muslim, I don't mean just casually. I mean, you really need to be a Muslim if you're going to be here. They're right there. But at this time, Russia, due to some good leadership, some advancing technology, is rising on their own, and they are not Muslim. They are beginning a different Christianity, Eastern Orthodox Christianity. Not Catholicism. I cannot stress this enough. That is important. Not Catholicism. That's going to be a stress point here in a minute. So as Russia begins to rise, Russia begins to see itself as a third Rome. And I always find this fascinating. I mean, people wonder sometimes why I say it's not even debatable that Rome was the greatest empire ever. To this day, we as a nation, America, have several parts of the Roman system ingrained in our society because our founders knew it was brilliant. The Byzantine Empire that came after Rome, they viewed themselves as second Rome. And now we've moved so far past Rome, we are in the 1500s. And they're still trying to be a third Rome. How amazing is that? Anybody ever try to be the second Achaemenid Persian Empire? Nope. It's incredible. And these people viewed Rome at this time very religiously. When they're talking about third Rome, they're talking about the later Christian Rome. They believed there has to be a godly Christian kingdom, powerful on this earth, who can take on things like Islam militarily. You can sneer at that all you want. Might depend on your religion or your upbringing or whatever. That, none of that matters. We don't do that here. That's what they believed, 100%. Somebody has to be able to take up the sword against these Muslims. That's what they believed. And Ivan III did pretty well at that. Ivan III has a son named Vasily. Vasily, Ivan the Terrible's father, gets himself married. Now it's time to discuss what Russia is like at this exact moment. Russia has a man in charge. I'm not going to call him a czar just yet, although you're welcome to. You know, it's just the man in charge. That would be Vasily. He's the king dog of Russia, but he's by no means some all-powerful autocrat at this time. In the same way Rome for so many years before the emperors was ruled really by the Senate, and you had consuls that were there for a year, technically they're in charge, but that senator's going to be there for another 20 years after you're gone, and he's been there 20 years before you got there. Who's really wielding the power around there? In Russia, you need to think of those people as the boyars or boyars, depending on who you read. They are absurdly wealthy, absurdly powerful, and they carry a big, big stick in Russia. A big stick. At this point in time, they're not getting pushed around by anybody. And they want more power. They want more money. They have differing political motivations. They're not just one group. Well, there's a problem with Vasily. Hang on.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time Shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our Shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/Shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The boyars, the nobles, are they're existing with Ivan's father, Vasily, and Ivan's father, Vasily's doing some good for the kingdom, and life is going along just fine, except there's a big, big, big problem. Vasily's wife, who he loves by all accounts, is not getting pregnant. Now, maybe you're going through that. Maybe you're trying and going through it. Maybe you've already finished and you can't, and that's a heartbreaking thing. But in this era, it was more than just a heartache because you wanted a child. It was everything. You had to have a child, not just for your legacy, which that was a huge part of it, to show to your kingdom that you were able to have them. It was a real, you know, status symbol. It was a big deal. And this woman's not getting pregnant. And she's not getting pregnant, and he's not getting pregnant. And he decides to divorce her. Big deal back then. Another big deal. His next wife was a Catholic. 16 years old, which I would consider that to be a big deal, but apparently that was pretty much the norm back then. A little creepy how normal Even sometimes young teens were wet off to people back then. Okay, not a little creepy, very creepy, but whatever, different times, I guess. But the Catholic thing was a major deal. Remember, this was Eastern Orthodox Christianity, and they were very much at odds with the Catholic Church. Now, when I say big deal, I mean borderline revolt brewing. But angry as they were about this, Vasily and his new young bride, he does manage to get a hockey puck past the goalie. Boom. Pregnant. Has a young son by the name of Ivan. Ivan the Fourth. Named after his grandfather, Ivan the Third. Ivan is born a king's son, right? A prince. Mom's a queen, dad's a king, I'm a prince. Life is good, isn't it? Right up until about the age of 3 for Ivan, and then Ivan's father dies. Now, all is not lost yet for Ivan, because this is an era. Remember this Third Rome thing, this religious thing, because it's really important for you to understand it in the story. He was, in the view of the Russians, he was chosen by God, young Ivan, to be the next czar. By God. And the ones who didn't believe that, which of course there were plenty who didn't, they knew enough of the people did believe it. So, yeah, he's 3 and his dad's dead, but someone's just going to have to hold on to the kingdom for him for a while. Because he's chosen by God, and yeah, we want power, but we're not gonna set off that hornet's nest. So his mom kind of steps in as queen regent on his behalf. And that is going really, really well, except his mom, she's a strong woman. She's now torturing people in front of Ivan at the age of 5. She's torturing her enemies at the age of 5. What were you doing with your parents at the age of 5? Going on walks in the park, eating ice cream, laughing and playing. It's hard for you and I to wrap our minds around it because we tell these stories, and to us they're just stories because we're so far removed from them. It's just crazy. That was somebody real. That was a real child standing in a dungeon watching mom torture people to death. What does that do to shape your young mind? And then mom, you see, the Boyers really wanted more power. They didn't like her standing in the way. They knew there was a boy czar who wouldn't be able to stop them. So at the age of 7 years old, Ivan gets to watch his own mother die by poison. The Boyers poisoned his mom. And this lovely little life Ivan has had, albeit a little bit violent, for the first 7 years of his life, boy, you want to talk about vanishing in front of your eyes and going the other direction and going the other direction hard. One of these royal Boyer families, one of these powerful Boyer families moves right on into what you and I would consider the royal palace. And they essentially just tell the people, look, we're just going to help out the young lad until he comes of age. It's just until he comes of age. We're just going to help him out. Now, what did that mean for Ivan? It meant in public, ceremonies and parades and things like that are very, very important back at this time. In public, Ivan is dressed up in the finest robes as any young up-and-coming czar would be, and he's given this huge place of honor, and he's waving to the crowd, and woohoo, this, and they believe, remember, the people believed this man was chosen by God. This child was chosen by God, so they thought he was everything. And he's waving to the crowd, and life's good. Right up until the point the ceremony was over and they had to go back inside, you see this Boyer family who took over after mom was poisoned. they hated this child and hated the family. And Ivan, as soon as he went back inside, had all his fine clothes stripped from him. He was consistently beaten, starved, frozen out, a prisoner in a palace. Imagine that, going from that life of luxury to a life of complete misery. And when I say complete misery, I don't mean for a week. I don't mean for a month. Years. From the age of 7 till 15 or 16 years old, this was his life. Beating, starvation, and then constantly, imagine this. Imagine what this would do to your mind. And then constantly dragged out into the public where you're praised and you can't tell anybody that I'm actually a prisoner. And all that's doing is cementing in your mind, I should be a king. Why am I being abused? The people think I'm a king. What? And something breaks in young Ivan. Young Ivan begins to become a really violent young man. When I say violent, I mean finding palace pigeons and tearing out their eyeballs. You know those puppies and kittens you and most normal people love so much, even if you're not a pet person like I'm not. I mean, who doesn't love a little puppy for a minute, right? It's a puppy. Yeah, young Ivan would go up to the top of the palace and throw puppies off. This is a young man mentally not doing well. Then, to make everything even worse, young Ivan did have a mentor who was trying to aid him as much as possible, groom him whenever he could without getting himself killed by the boyars. But eventually the boyars find out. They drag the mentor in young Ivan down to a dungeon and skin him alive in front of Ivan. It's dark, isn't it? It also really happened. But young Ivan is an intelligent young man, and oh, he has a plan. Hang on.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Cyber criminals are constantly prowling the internet, constantly. Every single time you go online, at work, your home, your spouse, your kids, whoever's online, every time you go on, you are at risk. You need to get Identity Hero. They will take your credit cards, debit cards, social security number, your credit score. They can absolutely ruin you unless you have Identity Hero. Then they let you know if someone's trying to do stuff with your identity. Then they actually reimburse you dollar for dollar if someone does do stuff, up to $1 million. And here, this might be the best part. It's an America-based company. Don't go with one of these foreign-based companies. Not anymore. $7.95 a month. That's all it costs you to get Identity Hero. Go to identityhero.net/Jesse. That's identityhero.net/Jesse. You see, the boyars may have Ivan trapped in this castle. They have guards looking out for him, but young Ivan is not without charm. He's not without resources, and young Ivan figures out, you know, I think I should probably get to know these guards a little better. I wonder what these guards believe about who should and shouldn't be in charge. And using a variety of different means, young Ivan figures out, okay, these guards are on my side now. It's time to take out the trash. So he waits in his room for the inevitable visit from this boyar who abuses him, slaps him, the works. Boyer walks into Ivan's room, and Ivan takes a look at the guys who are supposed to be guarding him and says, "Seize him. Seize him." They grab a hold of the Boyer. Ivan reportedly, very calmly, stands up, walks right past him, has the guards follow him, Boyer in tow, and strolls, at the age of 15, by the way, at the age of 15, strolls calmly through the palace and begins to head downstairs, where he heads down to the kennels. The kennels are not holding little beagle puppies. This is Russia. Your dogs are used for war. Your dogs, especially these dogs, are used for hunting, oftentimes bear hunting. These are gigantic, powerful dogs. Ivan has this, a man who's abused him since he was a small child, has him beaten nearly to death in the kennels in front of the dogs, and then has his bodyguards chuck this Boyer inside and watches the dogs eat this man alive. One of my favorite history stories of all time. That's awesome. The guy had it coming, Chris. I can like it. The dude had it coming. That's part of why it's so satisfying. The dude had it coming, big time. Now, Ivan takes over. Ivan takes power. And it's going okay. He's constantly clashing with these Boyers, but he's getting by. He's also fighting wars, surprise, surprise, against the Mongols. He goes down, threatens this portion of the Golden Horde, says, "Lay off my people or I'll come kill you." The Mongols are still Mongols. Then they say, "Please come on down." So young Ivan goes on down and gets his butt whipped. That's a tough start. Your people think you're chosen by God. If you want them to continue thinking you're chosen by God, you got to start winning some wars. Gets back home and promptly sees Moscow burn. Now, this is an era, I'm not going to go into it all. I'm not making this up on my life. In a period of, I think, around 300 years, Moscow, like the entire city, burnt to the ground 10 times or more. It was this really weird thing. I have no idea why. I've never looked into it. I have no idea why. No idea why they didn't get some kind of fire prevention plan out there or something at some point in time, but burns to the ground. Now, Ivan's had a rough start to everything. He's now at the age of 23 years old, and he gets very, 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 very sick. Ivan has a young son at this time, and Ivan thinks he, as in Ivan, is about to die. So he calls the Boyers in around his deathbed and asks them to pledge that they will safeguard his son and make his son ruler when Ivan dies, which he thinks he's about to do. The Boyers, I don't have any idea why you wouldn't at least just lie about it at this time, say, "No, I don't think we will. Screw him." That wouldn't have been a problem, except Ivan miraculously turns things around and recovers. And that may not have not even been a problem, except that young son who Ivan loves so much turns around and dies. Now he's really mad. Then his wife also dies. Then he gets in this war with Livonia. I've talked about it before. I'm not going to go into it again. And his top general, his top man, leaves his command and goes over to fight with the Livonians. Do you think, just do a brief reflection on everything we've talked about so far, do you think this is a man possibly who has some trust issues at this point in time? Do you think maybe this is a man who thinks he's about to be betrayed at all times? Well, he is. and he pulls off one of the most brilliant, calculating, vicious things I've ever seen. Remember, Russia at this time is very much a czar and the boyars kind of sharing power. The people need to see the czar is there. So Ivan decides he's going to get a little more power. Hang on. SimpliSafe has absolutely changed the way home security works. You see, forever, the only thing you could do if you wanted a home security system was call one of the few big companies out there, get upsold on why you need this many sensors. No, actually, you need this many more sensors. Well, now you need this camera and this special light. Now you need this special. It's a nightmare. Then you have to set up, you know how it works, the four-hour window, maybe. And of course, they can never even show up then. Show up, install your stuff. It's endlessly complicated. And they lock you in with a contract. It's happened to me my whole life. Always locked into a contract. All that's gone now with SimpliSafe. No more pushy salesmen. No more contracts. And you can have home security for as little as $15 a month. Go to simplisafe.com/Jesse. Pick out what you want. They ship it to you. You and your family place the sensors, plug them in, and you're protected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. SimpliSafe.com/Jesse. Wife dead, general gone, son dead, Ivan almost dead. Ivan decides, I'm going to take my toys and go home. What I mean by that is, without telling anybody, Ivan gets up one morning, gets his bodyguards, gets his servants, loads a whole bunch of his treasures and his Game Boy or whatever they had back then in the back of a carriage, and just leaves town. I'm done with being this czar thing. Goodbye. Now, you might think that's good news unless you're the boyars, because the boyars need this man to be the figurehead. He's the one chosen by God. We're going to screw everyone over behind the scenes. We got to get him back here. Why isn't he back here? If he's not back here, people are going to start looking at us, and we really don't want people looking at us. Ivan, we need you back. Ivan, will you come back? And Ivan says, of course I'll come back. Don't be ridiculous. But I'm going to come back and I need a couple concessions, if you don't mind. Just little ones. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Ivan says, I'm gone. I'm not the man in charge anymore. I'm not even coming back unless you boyars agree to some terms. The first term is this. I get a country within my country, and I am the only one in power in that country. And I know what you're thinking, but Jesse, Where is this country supposed to be? Well, it's funny you should mention that, because that kind of changed around a lot. That kind of was subject to whatever Ivan felt like during the day. Oh, he sent them a map of where his new country within the country was going to be, where he had supreme rule. But then he sent them another map, and then another map, And the maps kept changing and expanding, and he seemed to want this street and this building. But, oh, you can have that building, but it's... If it sounds a little purposely complicated, that's because it was. Oh, I mentioned he had two conditions, didn't I? I forgot. The second one was, I'm allowed to kill anybody I want. I'm not exaggerating. That was part of his condition. Boyers are understandably hesitant to sign such a deal. This doesn't seem like it. Does this seem fair, Marty? But they had no choice, really. You can't be without a czar. People were about to revolt. They're going to blame the Boyers. You've sent away God's representative. Get him back here. So they agree. And now we're about to find out why they named him Ivan the Terrible. Ivan comes rolling back into town, and Ivan decides he's had just about enough betrayal and treachery to last him a lifetime. You know that KGB you talk about all the time, you see in the movies, you read in the books, the secret police snatching these poor Russian citizens out of their beds at night? Do you know where that idea came from? Young Ivan the Terrible decides, what I really need is my own private army that's loyal to me. Now, where would you find people who are going to be exclusively loyal to you in a society with so many of these boyars and wealthy people and landowners? You go to the people who don't have anything and you give them something. You go right to the peasants. So Ivan the Terrible goes out and he starts recruiting peasants, lots of them. Try to picture for a moment what your life is like as a peasant. We always talk about the kings, don't we? The kings, the czars, the generals, the leaders, the people who live in palaces and drink out of golden goblets. But that's not the majority of the people. The majority of the people at this time live day by day, hoping you can eat the next day. Even if times are good and you're eating plenty, you are one famine away from watching your family starve to death in front of your eyes. You don't have changes of clothes. You dang sure don't have servants. You may not even own a horse. And along comes the head of Russia, who has now declared himself to be czar. He was the first ever czar, by the way. Ivan started that too. Declares himself to be czar, comes riding up on his horse and says, come on out. How would you like a beautiful horse, beautiful home, money, food, clothes? And how would you like to stick it to the people who've been sticking it to you your whole life? Now, maybe you'd say no to that, but how hard do you think he'd have to look before he found people who would say yes? Oh, he found them. And they called them the Children of Darkness. Officially, their name was the Oprichniki. I like Children of Darkness because it sounds super creepy. And when I say sounds super creepy, it's because these guys were monsters. They were dressed in all black. They only rode black horses. They rode around with the head of dogs on their horses. They would hang the head. They would kill a dog, cut off its head, and hang it off their horses. They rode around with large sticks, and they would randomly beat people. And that was about as nice as it got. Ivan was fanatically religious, I should mention. You know that picture? If you picture Moscow in your head, you picture one of two things if you're a normal human being. You either picture the Kremlin, or you picture that really colorful building with like the big balls on top of all the spires. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Google, you know what? We're going to do it right here on air. I haven't even done this. We're doing this live. How about that? Welcome to the show, Albuquerque. I told you it gets bad around here. All right, we're Googling something live on the show. Moscow, Google image search. And yep, there it is. First picture that comes up. All those colorful, that colorful building, all the colorful spires on top of it. That is called St. Basil's. Ivan the Terrible built that. He's the one who had that bill. And when I say fanatically religious, I mean he would force his Oprah Nikki to attend hours-long church services with him every day. If you showed up late, you died. Oh, sorry, I'm late, boss. The horse rolled an ankle on the way in. Oh, that's okay. We're going to have you ritually beaten to death and thrown in the river in front of everybody. Had quite the HR team there in old Ivan's kingdom. And the Oprah Nikki got worse from there. You see Ivan the Terrible hated Boyers. And when I say hated Boyers, I mean he would ride out to Boyer Estates and gather them all up in attics and then set a bunch of gunpowder on the bottom floor, light the fuse, and then stand back so he could watch the entire home explode and enjoy watching the body parts of Boyers fly through the air. He hated Boyers so much he wanted their bloodlines screwed up, so he would storm into a Boyer home, leave everybody alive, but take the Boyer noblewoman and have his men do their thing with her in front of everybody, specifically so she would get pregnant and the husband wouldn't even know if the child was his or not. Are you sickened yet? You should be. If you're not, we're going to keep going. It wasn't just the Boyers who he had murdered. We're talking 500-600 a day. He had special torture chambers set up. He also had entire towns destroyed who he thought were about to be or already disloyal to him. Had his own army march on his own town where he had all the priests beaten to death in front of the town. He then put men on spits like a pig and roasted them alive. One man he had impaled. Oh, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show. Do you know who Ivan the Terrible's hero was? Vlad the Impaler. Vlad Dracul. Longtime fans of the show will remember the Vlad show I did. Don't worry if you missed it. I'm going to do another one soon just because I love that guy. He had this man impaled. The stick, pole, whatever you want to call it, entered this man in the southern regions, exited out this man's neck. But you have to understand, oftentimes when it comes to impalement, they did not have a sharp end on the stick. In fact, they would have the end fairly blunt and they would grease it. Why? Because they don't want it piercing your organs on the way through. They want you alive for a long time, and this dude lived for 15 hours on that stick. Oh, there's one more thing. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Like a stain on your brain, you can't get out.
Identity Hero makes sure cyber criminals can't crush you. Let me ask you something. Think about just the information in your wallet right now. Your debit cards, your credit cards, your driver's license. Think about all the information in there. Now think about just taking a picture of that and throwing it up online, what people could do. That's what you're doing every time you're going online. These cyber thieves, they have a way to worm their way clear into your life and steal everything from you and financially ruin you unless you get something called Identity Hero. Identity Hero protects your online identity, and if you suffer any financial loss, they'll reimburse you dollar for dollar, up to $1 million. And you can get this kind of protection for just $7.95 a month. $7.95 a month. That's peace of mind. Identityhero.net/Jesse. We'll be right back. Remember when I said it got worse from there? Let's rewind just a moment. We're not even talking about his own city that he's burning down anymore and killing. Although I chose to skip for your own good some of the other things he did there, like building man-sized frying pans and frying men in them, attaching children to sleighs and pushing the sleighs into the rivers. You remember when Ivan was dying and he wanted them to pledge loyalty to his son? But everybody pledged loyalty to someone else. That someone else was actually his cousin, Vladimir. Not a good friend of Ivan's. Well, Ivan didn't do anything for a long, long time. Just kind of let that go. Hang on. No, we're cool, Vladimir. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. It's fine. Until Ivan decided one day it wasn't fine anymore. He rode out with his opryniki to his cousin Vladimir's residence. Walked in, informed him he was taking possession of everything his cousin owned. Then he gathered his cousin in the living room with his cousin's young children and handed them all poison and forced them all to drink it in front of him and watch them die. Vladimir's wife was out of town, so he just simply had her found and they took her down to the river and drowned her. This is a man who killed thousands and thousands and thousands of his own people, but remember the question we asked in the very, very beginning of the show? Is that a monster? Well, it's complicated. You know why Russia has Siberia to this day? Ivan the Terrible. Do you know why Russia stopped having a Mongol problem after this period of time? Because that first battle he lost against the Mongols, yeah, he went on to go ahead and kick the crap out of them for a long time after that. The formerly invincible Mongols, Ivan the Terrible was winning battles against them, lots of them. Ivan the Terrible expanded Russia with obviously some modifications into the Russia you know today. It exists because of Ivan the Terrible. And while we have focused on some gory stuff today, plenty of it, and he obviously sounds like a complete sadist, what if everyone around you does sadism? Is it still sadism? Do you think these boyars I'm talking about ever had anybody tortured and killed? Oh, of course they did all the time. I don't think I need to elaborate for you the things the Mongols did, who he was fighting against. What if good and evil, setting aside, obviously, biblical definitions, please don't strike me down, Lord, but what if, you know, on an individual level or even a society level, what is right and what is wrong is more determined by the era you live in than it is what you actually do? What if torturing and killing people is the norm? And the reason I bring this up is we have even more violence out there. A black Trump supporter, 60 years old, was gunned down in Milwaukee. They actually do believe, this guy was well known in the community, loved Donald Trump, had a big Vote Trump 2020 sign and Bible verses. He was well known, well thought of in his community, and his death is thought to be because he was a Trump supporter. And it's not really, I'm not really talking about this specific case, although that's just awful. But you see all these murders, these bombs they're throwing at federal police in Seattle, New York, another bunch of people murdered and shot, Chicago, another bunch of people. You see the violence rising all over America. And you know what I'm really worried about? I'm worried that's going to be life for for you and me going forward. I'm worried that we're going to have to live with it. I'm worried on occasion we're going to have to do it. And I don't know about you, I don't want to live like that. I don't want those norms to change. And probably like you, when I think about those norms changing, when I think about, I don't know whether you want to, whether this is a too drastic way to put it, whether you like this or not, but if we're going to move to more of a war footing like that, which sounds terrible to even say, what do you and I have a moral obligation to do or not do if things come to that? I told you this was a very direct show. I warned you, Albuquerque. Welcome aboard again, by the way. What do you and I have an obligation to do or not do? We're going to have to figure that out. The reason I'm asking the question is I don't have an answer. I don't know. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. When I was doing a bunch more reading on Ivan the Terrible last night, I wasn't exactly thinking in that direction. But by the time I got done, I was thinking, man, that guy sounds terrible. Wow, he was actually really good for Russia. I think life gets complicated. That's what I think. And I think we are in the middle of changing times. And you and I are going to have to focus a lot on doing the right thing and figuring out what the right thing is, because sometimes it's not that clear. Life is complicated, extremely. One last quick story on how complicated it is. One of these Mongol cities Ivan did take. Told you he was slapping around the Mongols. How often do you hear somebody taking a Mongol city? He captured a bunch of Mongols when he was trying to take the city, and he impaled them on stakes and put them out, still alive, outside of the city gates, trying to get the Mongols to surrender. And you know what the Mongols did? They simply pulled back their bows and shot all the guys that were on the pikes. Now, again, you want to talk about a moral question. You're pulling back that bow and arrow, aiming at your friend down there who's been impaled. Clearly, you're not going to be thrilled about it, but in your mind, are you doing the right thing? The wrong thing? Life gets complicated. We have a bunch of stuff coming down right now with Attorney General Barr giving testimonies today about you know, more stuff on all this Russian stuff. What if nothing happens with that? And I don't know about you, but I'm checking my calendar, and man, I it feels like it's July 28th today. If it's July 28th today, and we have an election coming up in, let me see, August, September, October. Man, that almost seems like that's less than 100 days away. And we don't have any indictments yet? We don't have anybody being charged with a crime yet? Hang on. I can't believe we were being evicted from our home. That is a direct quote from somebody. You guys think I'm just trying to scare you? I'm not trying to scare you. Home title theft is the cybercrime sweeping the nation right now. The FBI is gravely, gravely concerned about it. You need to start making sure these cyber criminals cannot get a hold of your home title. It's not a piece of paper sitting in a safe anymore. It's online. They find it, and they can get your signature on it like that. I know because Home Title Lock, as an example, did it to me when we first met. Less than 10 minutes, their expert had my home title with my signature and my wife's signature on it. They sent it to me and my jaw dropped. They could easily get a loan out with that. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. Start protecting yourself and your family. Use the code Jesse for 30 free days. Joining me now, the great Sean Davis, co-founder of The Federalist. Sean, what in the world is happening with these doctors and the press conference? And the what kind of censored society are we living in?
That's a good question. I mean, I try to avoid the conspiracy theories, but I got to tell you what, the more the censorship goes on over medicine that people have used to treat lupus and other autoimmune diseases with no real risks for decades, it's starting to make me wonder if a lot of people have a big financial interest in, a vaccine that doesn't even exist yet. And that's why they are pushing to ban, apparently, this treatment that has been effective for a lot of people. It's pretty scary to see.
In all seriousness, Sean, it's so creepy to me. I've been trying to avoid going full-out conspiracy theorist on it for exactly this reason. We have something where many doctors are saying they've treated coronavirus with it. It's not, I mean, look, they can argue over it all day long, but that's a legit medical viewpoint by this point in time. Doctors are saying, I've used it to treat coronavirus patients, and YouTube is censoring it. Google is censoring it. They're eliminating the video. I think they suspended Donald Trump Jr.'s Twitter account over the thing. Who is so financially invested in this thing not working, and why would someone want it not to work?
Well, I think what we've learned over the past couple months is that there are a lot of people in this country who will do anything, regardless of the cost, regardless of the damage, to get the bad orange man out of the White House. I mean, they're burning down federal buildings. They're shooting people who commit the crime of wanting someone else than what the left wants to be president. They're actively trying to keep schools shut down. They were telling us when this whole thing started that it was racist to shut down travel and that it was evil to wear a mask. And now they're all saying the exact opposite. And I'm beginning to think, I'm beginning to get a little bit of an inkling that maybe what they're pushing for the entire time has nothing to do with what's best for us. And it's actually it will give them the most power and the greatest ability to force us to submit. I'm beginning to get that sense.
So it's all about Trump? There's nothing else to this? I mean, look, I'm not trying to go tinfoil on my hat. I don't know. But that's all this is about, is Donald Trump?
I don't think it's actually all about Trump. I think it's all actually about power. And Trump just happens to be the person who is standing between the totalitarian left and what they view as their divine right to rule us as subjects. I think Trump just happens to be the person who is occupying their psychotic little minds. But I think the real issue is power. I mean, just look at the Russia hoax. Yes, Trump was involved in it, but that was about them getting back power without actually having to win it at the ballot box. That's what drives their demand to control all the courts, is a desire for power. I think everything for the left comes down to power, and there's no better example of it than Chaz or whatever they're calling it in Seattle and Portland. They'll go down and burn down a city if they have to get power.
Sean, I'm glad you brought up Russia because we know Barr is going to testify today, but my calendar tells me we're less than 3 months away from an election, or somewhere about less than 100 days, I should say, from an election. Where are my charges, Sean? Who's going to jail? Joe Biden might win this election, and then everyone knows this whole investigation disappears. What's taking so long?
That's a great question that I don't have an answer to. And, it's interesting, when Mueller was in there, doing whatever he was doing, answering phone bananas, talking into his shoe. he clearly wasn't running that investigation. The left and the media, but I repeat myself, had full-on campaigns to demand that Republicans pledge to not fire Robert Mueller. If you fire Robert Mueller, that's a crime. How dare you? We've not seen any of that when it comes to John Durham, the attorney tapped by Barr to investigate the Russiagate hoax. And I think it's because we all know that the second Biden is elected, if he wins, the coronavirus is cured, the violence in these big cities stops, and John Durham gets fired. So I don't know where the heck charges are. They've got Glenn Simpson dead to rights lying to Congress. They've got Kevin Kleinsmith, an FBI attorney, dead to rights fabricating evidence and lying to a FISA court. They have reams of evidence against a bunch of these people where it's not even a close case. And yet, for some reason, we don't see any charges. And it's getting really, really frustrating because it's beginning to look like we have two systems of justice in this country.
Sean, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because I'm actually genuinely worried about that. When you look at the lawlessness in the streets, these absurd Black Lives Matter protests, too, these violent, just horrible crap that is apparently being allowed in these cities, while at the same time we're arresting business owners for opening up, we're arresting pastors, and you look at all this Barr Russia stuff, I feel like this is part of the thing that tears a society apart when people feel like the law is only for other people.
Well, exactly. What protects America from vigilantism is actually the rule of law and the dispassionate equal protection of everyone under the law. But look at what happened in St. Louis with the McCloskey family. They had a terroristic insurrectionist mob break into their neighborhood, execute plans B and E to get through that locked fence to get in there. They assaulted them and threatened them. And when this family, after the police had failed to protect them, after the government had failed to do its one job, this family took it upon themselves to protect each other. And they did it without firing a single shot. And who gets charged in that? They got charged, and they got charged by a prosecutor who was tampering with evidence in order to get one of the charges to stick. Okay, so you cannot have a country where that kind of nonsense is allowed to go on, where the government's allowed to abdicate its responsibility to do its one thing that it has to do, which is protect you, and then it charges you for protecting yourself. If that is not a recipe for anarchy and vigilantism and eventually widespread violence, then nothing is. And it pains me and it enrages me to see that happening in our country, which wasn't like this even 5 or 10 years ago.
How did it happen so fast?
Man, I have theological explanations for
it. No, let's hear it. We talk about God on this show. Let's hear it. How did it happen so fast? What happened?
I think we have abandoned the things that we believed in that made this country great, namely a faith in God and a belief that we are all created equal and entitled to the same protections and dignity because we're all made in the image of our Creator. And we've just turned into a completely hedonistic, in many ways, God-hating society. So why should we be surprised when the protection and the favor that we've received for 250 years seems to be removed? It doesn't seem like rocket science to me, but I'm just an unfrozen caveman Sunday church attender.
I've been thinking about, after this Austin thing, I've been thinking about upgrading my vehicle arsenal, Sean. Now, I'm not saying I want to know anything that you have in your vehicle. I know you would never, ever carry weapons and don't believe in guns at all. But if you were to upgrade your vehicle arsenal, what's a weapon you would consider having in there?
Gotta tell you, man, the AR-15 is, I think, the greatest self-defense platform ever created. It's easy to use. It's accurate. It's almost infinitely modular. You know, get your tax stamp, get a little short-barreled AR, a little 10 or 12-incher in there. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
I like it. I'm just worried about my eardrums. It just does shoot in vehicles, man.
Get a suppressor.
I don't want to go through the process. How long is it going to take me to get this suppressor?
Man, I don't know. It's if you make your own at this point,
Sean,
you can go and you can do a Form 1. It takes a month.
All right. Sean Davis, co-founder of The Federalist. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Jesse.
Be good. I want a sub-suppressed. That's what I want. Get some subsonic rounds. Oh, it's beautiful, Chris. It's beautiful. But now, I'm sure they have fancy stuff out there for it now. I don't know where to store it securely. You know what I mean? They're storing it, and then I got to take my car to Jiffy Lube. I'd rather not completely arm up the staff while they're in there cleaning my, you know what I'm talking about. All right. These are some heavy-duty concerns, Chris. You know, I think it's time we talked about something, and I think it's time we had a very, very frank conversation. It's going to be very important. Hang on.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint and your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is an iHeart podcast.